Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
We swarm. Let them loose.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day long.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. We are now fully in the season. Week one just went down. I just got back from Atlanta. If you're watching this on YouTube, the man next to me, a frequent flyer of the Tales from the Terror Dome podcast. I should start a credit card, earn some points. Atlanta was amazing. The environment was incredible. The weather was mid to high 70s to low to mid 80s. It wasn't incredibly humid. Everybody was sweating a little bit, but that was more from drinking than it was from the heat, which is a very rare thing for Atlanta. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you're at 2013 Virginia Tech versus Alabama, it was sweltering outside. Fond memories of buying a case of water and pouring more on me than drinking. It was just that hot, but not this time. We were blessed with beautiful weather. We went down. Didn't know what the team was going to look like. I do want to preface this episode before we really get into it with we lost. Not acceptable to lose. Probable, but you still don't want to do it. So we're not here to excuse the losing aspect of this whole thing, but we are here to break down the game. My guy Grayson is here all the way from Los Angeles. And how you doing, my man?
I'm doing, you know, all things considered, Dan, I'm doing really well this week. Pardon if there's a little echo here, y'all. I actually just moved into a new spot. So I apologize for that. I'm doing well, man. You know, some updates. Kind of, I started a new job back in May out here in LA, kind of out of the entertainment industry. But dude, it's been a long time since I've been on Tales. Pete B said it on 2D. This was like one of the longest off seasons of all time, and not probably just on time alone, but just because so many people after last season, myself included, were so over Virginia Tech football, didn't want to talk about it, wanted nothing to do with it. And now the summer flew by. Like, I'm talking about starting that new job. That was back in May. I was at my buddy Dylan and Olivia's wedding. It says, "Let's go Hokies" right here. Yes, indeed. And that was, you know, feels like forever ago, but here we are. It's college football season. So thank you for having me on, man. And I'm excited to talk about this weekend. Did you have fun, though?
Like, dude,
yeah.
I remember sitting in Mercedes-Benz and being like, this environment is so amazing. Like, everything that's been going on is so amazing. We are currently playing this team very, very tough. If we happen to win, it will be ecstasy. Like, that's how good of a weekend it was. Like, the drinks were flowing. There were Hokies everywhere. There were a lot of Gamecock fans, too, and a lot of Tennessee and Syracuse fans as well on Saturday, because we were down by the stadium hitting bars, and they were playing at noon. But, yeah, man, like, it was really, like, I thought the vibes were great. You know, Billy and Pat, the sons, they had a nice little event at Park Tavern on Saturday that ended up being pretty awesome. Yeah, man, everybody, you know, drinks were flowing. Optimism was slowly creeping in. I feel like more people were starting to be like, am I crazy for feeling some inkling of hope here? And I was like, I mean, it's just kind of the natural process of being a fan is especially when you have brand new scheme, brand new coordinators, like 30 plus new players, you just kind of hope, you know, that something crazy happens and you win the game. I honestly said on the previous pod, previewing the Affleck kickoff, that I didn't expect to win. But what I saw, like, relieved me, I guess. Like, I felt like it was probably the most testicular fortitude a defense has had in this new regime, or actually in a while. Like, they were very tough. They were very stingy, physical. They didn't look out of shape, which was crucial. Offense has some things to clean up, obviously. So I didn't feel like the reason we lost was because of like coaching miscues outside of like the one, the punt, which ended up costing us a touchdown, but like, or well, caught, they scored a touchdown and it increased our deficit. But other than that, I didn't feel like anything that happened in that game couldn't be remedied. And that's a good thing because last year there was plenty of dumb stuff that went down that I didn't think could be fixed.
That's a, I don't hate that take at all. You know, I was documented, said it on a lot of shows, my pinned tweet. I thought we were going to get our ass kicked. I really did. I thought they were going to come. And especially, dude, I was watching that first drive on TV and they marched down the field on us and they pulled the Rutgers from last year in the flat. And all I kept thinking to myself was, we're not going to be able to stop it. They're going to do it all game. We're not going to be able to stop it. They're going to score 50 on us doing this shit, and we will not be able to stop it. And I'll tell you, Dan, it's interesting, man. I've never entered a football season so apathetic in my life. My buddy, Michael Root, came over. He's a Hoke. He lived with me on the fifth floor of Oshag our freshman year. Sitting on the couch, didn't have a drop of alcohol. I had gone out the night before. I sat there stone cold sober and watched this game and wasn't mad, wasn't heated, but the hopium started to set in a little bit. I'm like, holy crap. Like we might beat these guys. Our defense made adjustments after that first drive. No disrespect, dude. Marv's defenses would not have, they would have folded like a cheap freaking tent. And Sam Sivkus, this is why Coach Pry was given the opportunity to hire these new guys. Coach Sivkus, game ball. Your defense pitched a damn near perfect game. You know, you can't put the special teams on that touchdown on him. And you can't really, but I mean, you kind of got beat by a track star on that one that Sellers put on a string. There's not a whole lot you can do about that. They kept saying that number 8 on South Carolina was like on the Olympic trials for track. Not a whole lot you can do about that. We could have lost, I think, by way more. And it's so funny, dude. I think a lot of the South Carolina fans, I have a lot of friends who went to the University of South Carolina, and they all said, dude, like, our offensive line didn't look good, and we're worried about it. Like, I don't know, maybe that the height, we need to kind of curtail our expectations. And I'm thinking, well, are we good, or are y'all not as good as you thought? And so, again, first game jitters, first game woes. But I'm in this weird place right now where I feel like I should feel some type of way. But there were, and I'm sorry, Pete B, who keeps saying, no, there's no positives out of this. If I'm saying that there are, I don't know, dude. There were some things I saw on Sunday that I did not hate and were a step in the right direction. I don't know what that means for the season, but let's answer. We got some responses to our tweets or posts, whatever. And I want to hear what you have to say about this. Billy Ray Mitchell from Sons of Saturday, actually, he said, did the result this weekend change or impact any of your predictions on this team's ceiling or floor? Dan?
I think it potentially elevated both. I feel like if they can play, like, I feel like there was sound football played for the most part. Obviously some like first game, like whatever, like they haven't played live football yet. Kyron Jones hadn't played a snap of real football since November 9th, 2024 against Clemson. Like I feel like there was, like, even though the offense stalled a lot of the throws were good. The receivers made a lot of good catches. There were bad throws too, and there were bad drops. They kind of alternated on which one it was going to be, to be honest. But I thought, though, that there was like a clear, concise vision of like what the offense wanted the offense to look like and what Sivkus wanted the defense to look like in that particular game. And I mean, they performed well for overall. Like, didn't win the game, but like I saw a lot of good things that made me feel, hey, this is different than previous years. Like, I felt I left Atlanta feeling better than I have about a neutral site game since 2017, and we won that one. So, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I do. I feel like, you know, we could really lock in it, and probably, and I was at 7. I think you could get 8, you know?
I said we were going to win 5 games. This game has me feeling we could get 6 or 7. I mean, just kind of what I saw from the defense. I mean, I'm not even kidding, Dan. I think about all the defensive performances of Coach Pry led teams. That one was in my top 3 since he's been hired, and that's a loss. I mean, I honestly feel like most of the top defensive performances we've had under Pry have been losses. I'm just calling a spade a spade. Does that mean that he's still the guy? I mean, I don't know, whatever. But to answer that question, yeah, I mean, I think that does change how many games we'll win. Again, dude, the ACC is looking scary now. Miami just beat a very good Notre Dame team. Florida State just beat Alabama. Who saw that coming?
Alabama looks so soft, by the way.
Well, it's a long way from Tricky Nick, dude. And Kalen DeBoer is a real suspect. I mean, he doesn't have Michael Penix Jr. to launch the ball, you know, 400 yards a game. So it's interesting, man. Like, the defense played really well, but I do want to read some statistics from the game that are concerning to me on the flip side of the ball. We had more first downs than they did. We had 19 to their 16. They only had 4 more rushing yards than we did. And we had 221 passing yards. They had 209. We had 336 yards total offense. They had 328. And then, I mean, you kind of look at everything else. We had 4 sacks. They only had 2 on drones. And I'm thinking, well, if you put that in front of me and you made me pick who won that game, I'd probably pick Virginia Tech 9 times out of 10. And so that's a little frustrating because on the offensive side of the ball, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, Dan. On the offensive side of the ball, it seemed very much more of the same. 1 step forward, 3 steps back. We'd make a good play. It'd get offset by some head-ass penalty. Or drones would sneak one in there, and he snuck a few in. To his credit, people are beating him up on the internet. And, you know, he did not play well on Sunday. All things considered, top to bottom, he did not have his best game. Great. He made some really hard throws, but he missed some really easy ones. Mm-hmm. He missed some layups. 3rd and 5 to Hawkins, misses him. Doesn't put the right touch on the ball. Keith has that 3rd and 5 drop. That's more on Heath. But still, the short little chunk plays, too many drops. That's also, you know, not just on drones, but that's on our receiving core. Guys, like, you're making these insane OBJ-esque catches, but you can't catch one that's a 7-yard pass right in the breadbasket.
Right.
You can't have that. And I don't know, man, if it's first game jitters or what. We got some young guys. I mean, every receiver for the most part had a bad drop. That includes Aiden Green. And I don't know, dude. And you miss Basil Tootin. You really saw his absence in this game. I even made a remark to my buddy Mike. I'm like, dude, if Tootin were running in that play, I think he busts it. Like, just the vision of some of these running backs, and that's not to their discredit. We had a steady rotation going. And then also, Dan, because I want to hear your thoughts on all this. Dude, this is just a microcosm of the portal era and the NIL era. This is probably the first time since I was 4 or 5 years old where I looked at a Virginia Tech team on the field and I said, hey, yo, who is that? I'm like, yo, I don't know any of these guys other than like Drones and Woodson. Because everyone's switching numbers. And the new guys, I'm like, on the defensive line, I'm thinking, bro, I don't know any of you. Like, I don't know any of you guys. Who was it, Laws, who had a couple of the sacks? Is that number 99, right?
Emmett Laws, yeah.
Emmett Laws, I'm like, I don't know this kid. Hell yeah, he's balling. I don't know him.
We actually recruited him out of high school.
Which is sick, right? You know, yeah. Kinda, that's sweet. But what did you, just being in the stadium, what did you think offensively about our performance on Sunday?
When Jeremiah Coney got called for that chop block, it reminded me of, ironically, the other USC, Josh Heimann, ghost offensive pass interference call that screwed us out of a monumentally massive play. And that's what happened, because I feel like if they never called that, we were going to score on that drive. Like, they felt juiced after that crazy ass, like, catch and run. Like, and then I saw the flag and I just literally, like, I didn't even sit down in my seat. Dude, I just dropped down in my seat. And it was not because of the Miller Lights. It was because I was just new. I was like, they're about to take us to the woodshed on something here. And it was a very soft call. Like, I guess you could technically call it, but it didn't feel really like what a chop block, like the harm that is intended in a chop block wasn't there at all. So I feel like the refs didn't have to call that, because that was not really, by textbook definition to me, a chop block.
On TV, dude, it was worse.
Was it? Like,
they showed the official, to his credit, threw that flag immediately. I thought it was some like bull crap late flag. They show the replay, and I'm like, did he go at his knees? And I know some Hokies ain't gonna like this. The ones who watched it on TV, I think, will agree with me. He went at his knees. And it's like, in this game, they're gonna call that. And unfortunately, it is what it is. And when you think about it, dude, it kind of evened out, because, you know, I have my little brother texting my family group chat that number 8 on South Carolina, oh, that was a touchdown catch. No, it wasn't. He didn't have possession of that thing the whole way. But I'm like, Hampton, whose side are you on here? Shut the hell up.
No, David Hambone. Yeah.
Shut up, dude. What do you mean he caught it? Kick rocks, dweeb. You suck.
I thought Tyson Flowers, who was the one that dove at Lenoris instead of filling in the hole on that first touchdown they had, was amazing at battling that ball to make sure that it was not a touchdown.
Yes. And unfortunately, he got burned on the touchdown that they had later. But, you know.
Yeah. A guy that we're not talking about at all this offseason made one of the craziest catches I remember. Isaiah Spencer, with that one catch, was insane, dude. I was like, I need to see more of 14 this year.
Yeah. Isaiah Spencer had a great catch. Donovan Green had a great catch. Aiden Green had a great catch. I mean, that on the hard balls that Drones was able to sneak into some of those really tight windows, there were some pretty badass catches, but it's offset by the 7-yard drops. You know, you forget about those when you're not converting first downs that could set 100%. Up potentially scoring drives. And then obviously you had, like you just mentioned, the Aiden Green great catch that's offset by a chop block penalty. And I agree with you, dude. We would have scored on that drive.
Yeah.
100%.
And then
It is annoying, though, that we couldn't score a touchdown.
Other miscues were like when Dylan Stewart immediately ran through and Kyron spun out and put Dylan Stewart on his face, but then like threw in a double coverage because, like, I don't know if Benji Benji wasn't looking or didn't have his head turned around. He was like wide open. Like, if that would have been like a highlight play, like, dude, that would have went hard on some edit. But like, we just had too many like almost like miscues, too many almost that were miscues. Then we had too many just blatant miscues.
We were, you know, I was kind of chirped in one of the spaces after the game by Tally and Vito. I thought for the most, in terms of QB protection, we were able to contain Dylan Stewart better than I anticipated. I'll put it that way. I thought that dude was going to be on Kyron Drones like white on rice. I mean, I really thought he was going to cause way more problems than he did. Now, he was getting some pressure back there, and that little shit was encroaching on the neutral zone the entire game. The entire game. Sorry, Sal Kakalaki fans. You know I'm right. He's a great football player. Great football player. But that hand, dude, they called him for it like twice. But he was doing it all game long. And he had, what, one sack?
I think. Yeah, well, he took his head off. And that was when the dude flopped and Donovan Green got the call. So it ended up being like a 38-yard penalty.
Yep.
That killed that drive.
I was retrieving a pizza when that happened. Mm. It was funny. We were about to score, and I go down to get the pizza, and Mike was like, dude, you should pull it up. I'm like, dude, something bad's about to happen while I'm down there. And lo and behold, that penalty happens. We had some more people. We kind of answered Serbian Hokie's question. Grayson and Dan, can you discuss your thoughts on offensive play calling? We've answered that question. And then Stephen Wright, our guy, man, love Stephen Wright. He said, let's get no offense, Stephen, this isn't really a serious question. I'm going to let Dan.
No, it's not a serious question at all. But
let's get a theoretical over-under on how long it takes to get through the Southeast Gate Saturday, the real pressing stuff. How long, Dan, is it going to take?
Me personally, like us, I'm going to say the over-under is at 17 and a half minutes.
Yes, that's probably pretty accurate. And then Ethan McFarland also said, not preseason prediction, but after week one prediction, how do you both feel about the Hokies after week one as a whole? Kind of BRM's question. I think it kind of goes with that. I feel better about the season.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I necessarily feel better about, you know, maybe the direction of the program as a whole. I still have a lot of problems there, but I didn't, in a loss, and I hate that we're at a place where we have to feel like we have to do moral victories. We didn't get embarrassed on national TV, and I was really worried we were going to. Dan, how much fun was it probably? You know, the last 2 years, the novelty, I was there with you in Nashville last year.
Mm-hmm.
Compare like – how you feel now versus how you felt then, like after those games, like how, you know,
it's night and day.
Yeah.
Because like Nashville, we were heavily favored or not. I don't know if we're heavily favored, but it was expected after all the media hype and like everybody coming back that we were going to beat Vanderbilt's ass. And then, it didn't happen. So then it was like this year we were kind of spiraling like, what the hell? Like we got punched in the mouth. It doesn't look good. And then like this year it looked like there was like a more concise, poignant vision, like purposeful vision on both sides of the ball. And they look like they're capable, at least for the most part, of punching up a weight class. And I mean, we got what, Miami, Florida State, a couple of teams this year that, you know, if we can keep punching. For me, Florida State, not to get too far ahead, Castellanos has to actually beat us for me to believe that he can, because we've owned that kid for like 3 years. But, and it's week one, we don't know, you know, but we said week one last year and Florida State just continued to be terrible on the flip side of what they did this year. So who knows? But Yeah, I would say there, I have a little more optimism and hope compared to how I left Nashville.
Yeah. It's, again, dude, like when the game was over, I wasn't mad. I didn't feel that hot feeling you have in your head after a frustrating loss. Like that warm feeling you get in your face where it's just like, I had that after Vanderbilt last year. And I don't know, dude, it was an interesting game. The nail in the coffin for us. And of course the pageantry had to be the punt return for a touchdown. That was the blow that took the wind out of the sails. And of course it was Beamer Ball that got him there. We've done this on this show, even last year. People have been talking about it on a myriad of different platforms, I suppose. Stu Holt, I think we can do better. So if Coach Pry wants to have another year after this one, I think maybe hiring a new special teams coordinator is a conversation worth exploring, because there seems to be some inconsistencies on that part of our game. But that was the dagger. After they had that happen, I said they're gonna win. It's over at that point.
That was the worst part, because it was such a beautiful like punt. They were pinned back fairly deep and they hadn't been doing anything. So
yeah.
It was kind of like re-kicking gave them like, it was like their liquid IV. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that gave him the juice, dude, because it was loud after that. It was loud. Dude, you could hear it on TV.
The whole place was loud. Like, even when there was barely anybody in there, like, it is loud. Like, when it was full, it was incredibly loud, which was fine because it was amazing.
You could really hear both fan bases. When something good happened for either fan base, I mean, both fan bases were – it was a ruckus. And so you know, it's interesting, man. I think about the pageantry of the game and kind of the stakes of the game. I have never once in my – and maybe that's what makes this better for me, this loss better, is because I had so many friends who went to the University of South Carolina, and it's a great school. And I'm rooting for Shane because you and I and so many other Hokies adored his father.
Right. And him to an extent.
Yeah. Without Frank Beamer, there's no Tales from the Terror Dome. There's none of this. Diehard Virginia Tech fans, Grayson and Dan, you know, Pete and Sam, Randy, you know, Daniel Lundberg, whoever else. Without Frank, there's no Shane. And so you're welcome, South Carolina fans, by the way. But I want to see Shane do well. It sucks when it's us he's doing it kind of against, but it was cool to see Lenore Sellers give Frank Beamer the game ball. Hats off to Lenore.
No, it wasn't cool. Like, but at the same time, the fan of me that wants to be irrational is like, you don't know him. Like, he is not
your. I see the flip side to that coin, but it's like there's a level of respect there.
No, 1,000%.
There's a level of respect there that, as a fan, I appreciate. But the main theme of this game that I wrestle with, Dan, is that we could have won it.
Mm-hmm.
And how many freaking Virginia Tech games can you say that about?
Too many.
Not just under Brent Pry, under Justin Fuente. And under Frank Beamer. And so, you know, it kind of gave me shades a little bit of some of those old games. The USC game, you alluded to, the Josh Heimann offensive PI, the Boise State game, freaking Austin Pettis.
'09 Bama.
Austin Pettis in the back of the end zone for Boise State. Or, what are some of the other home openers that we've had? Even the ECU game in Charlotte all those years ago, which it just kind of – it it just goes in a long line of those games where you think, if we had just done one or two things differently, it could have been ours. And though, and they're always on national TV too. Everybody was watching that game.
BCS and that's, Bowls also.
Yep, and BCS Bowls too. I mean, the Michigan game, pick one. It's, you can't spell vintage without VT. It's vintage Virginia Tech. And that's what sucks, is it doesn't really matter who's the head coach. It's happened in every era, and it continues to happen. It's a sick thing. And you, like, you watch Miami beat Notre Dame. You watch Florida State beat Alabama. And you watch LSU beat Clemson. And you think, damn, wouldn't it have been cool if we could have been the team that beat Lenora Sellers and Shane Beamer? But no. And that's the thing that is just so gut-wrenching as a Virginia Tech fan. So I don't know. It's frustrating. There's good that comes out of it. I'm more optimistic about the rest of the season, yes, but also it's extremely frustrating that if you're going to lose, I kind of wanted to lose the other way. I kind of wish they kicked our ass. A lot of people might call me crazy for that. I don't know. I think that's because I said that they were going to. They beat us by 13. So, I don't know, man. It's kind of, you turn the page on it. Are we missing anything from the South Carolina game? Because we got a big one coming up.
No, I mean, it was just, they begged us to beat them.
Begged us, yeah.
Didn't do it. Showed quite a bit of dignity and ability, which was refreshing for ACC play and shit. But ultimate bottom line is we didn't get it done. Had a chance. Not a reason to feel bad about the rest of the season, but it would have been nice to shock the world on that one.
Where could we improve, Dan, outside of what we've already said? I think you and I would both agree missed tackles in the secondary are still a problem. The defense is not completely without fault. We need to tighten up tackling because there are plenty of QBs that we're going to see later this season that can run the way he can.
Mm-hmm.
And picking up those first downs had me hot, dude. That dude, mm-hmm. That little twit Diego Pavia is going to come into Blacksburg. By the way, Vandy fans, what's up with it? Because guess what? I wasn't saying I wanted to physically harm your boy. I'm saying, God forbid, I want my team to play with an edge and wrap up and go for his kneecaps. So chill out. I hope we beat you like a drum. Swear to God. Yeah. I hope we beat your ass. Yeah, that's all I'm saying. I want my team to play with an edge.
There needs to be a big emphasis on revenge. Like, they can't come into Blacksburg at night, home opener, and think they're going to get away with winning.
A lot of their fans do, and guess what? You know what? Why wouldn't they? We're not scary like we used to be.
Not at all.
We're not scary like we used to be. I can't blame the Vanderbilt fans for trash-talking. They want to get mad at me. Dude, I remember what some of your fans said to ours in person. And it wasn't very savory or politically correct. Yeah, we can have that conversation. Give me a call. I'll tell you what they said. We can do that. If you want to do that, we can do that. But I understand why they're not scared. I know that dude on Twitter is, whatever the hell his name is, he's going to be in Blacksburg, the kid who was like, I won, and he recorded himself or whatever.
Yeah, pandering to UVA fans like they're a serious fan base. They don't give a shit.
Dude, they don't care. I'm going to tell you right now. And if you show up to the game and you're rooting for Vanderbilt and you're wearing a UVA sweatshirt, you're a loser, dude. You're a freaking dork. So, yeah, you can see me about it. I don't care. Vanderbilt, dude. This, Brady Hess tweeted this. Shout out my guy, Brady Hess. This is the biggest Virginia Tech game in how long? In terms of implications, what I could not tell you. If there, I cannot think of a game in recent years that as much of is that is so important to a football program and a fan base to win it as this one. I couldn't tell you. UNC maybe in 2021, if that. I don't know. Like I couldn't. Maybe UVA 2018, probably.
Get the
UVA 2018, probably, when we're fighting for bowl eligibility and that was a home game. Yeah, that was a must win. That was a heart attack on a plate. And guess what? Yeah,
we've done that before.
This one's going to be a heart attack on a plate, too. It's going to be close. Line's like, what, 1.5 right now? It should be. Diego Pavia, listen, dude, I can talk smack. That dude ate our lunch last year. He's a good football player. You're so what if it's Vandy? They beat us. They're an SEC team.
Yeah. You can't. But if it's anything like this past week, I feel like if Sifkis can contain Sellers as a runner, he can contain Pavia.
You hear what I just did?
Oh, better, yeah, he knocked on wood, baby.
Better knock on wood. Because, I mean, Pavia's, he's shifty. Sellers is a big dude. He runs like Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Pavia's shifty, dude. He's got a little Johnny Manziel in him. I rescind that. No, he doesn't. No, he does. He does have a little Johnny Manziel in him. He's much more shifty. He's quick. He can make you miss probably a lot more than Lenore Sellers can. And that's never been good for our very high-tackling secondary.
Right.
And that's what I'm talking about, dude. If you don't tighten that up this weekend, Bobby's going to make him pay for it. Whether it's in the air or on his feet, don't matter. So, you know, outside of – Vanderbilt kind of did a page one rewrite on a lot of their players. And I don't know if you're planning on doing a preview podcast. I mean, we don't have to get into it too much, dude, but we would be remiss. Oh,
This is that, my friend.
If we did not address how important this game is on Saturday, we'd be insane. I may go see Oasis at the Rose Bowl on Saturday. I want to go to that concert, and I almost might not do it just to watch the Vanderbilt game. And I will be damned if I skip that concert and we lose. So that's partially why I'm like, screw the game, go to the concert.
Oasis, man.
Yeah.
Our defense will need to form a Wonderwall.
That was a good one, Dan. That was a good one. I like that. Our offense will have to play supersonic.
Yeah.
If we want.
And then after the game, we'll have a champagne supernova.
Yes. Correct.
Yes, sir.
What do you think? What's the key to Saturday's game against Vanderbilt? What Stifle. Do you think has to happen for us to win?
You got to pressure Pavia. You got to contain him. You got to punish him. You got to make him hurt. And Eli Stowers, one of the best tight ends in the country, you can't let that keep it. You can't let that happen.
Stowers, yeah, I mean, dude, if they want to watch the tape from the South Kagalaki game, I mean, throw to the flat, dude. You want to beat VT? Yeah, watch the Rutgers tape from last year. I mean, now, granted, this is now Sam Sifkis's defense. We're not being coached by Chris Marv anymore. We're making defensive adjustments. We saw that. But you gotta put the clamps on them. It's the defense will win us this football game.
You gotta make them regret thinking they could even come into Blacksburg and beat us. Is what you gotta take. You gotta take back the fear.
Yeah, you gotta take back the fear. I mean, you gotta if you gotta get to stepping out in the parking lot with those jackass fans of theirs, you can do that too. You know, I mean, I just could not believe how terrible their fans were. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, listen to this. Y'all were some assholes last year.
Facts.
Assholes.
They were bad.
Like, just so we're clear, the way y'all treated us, dude, I've been to a lot of Virginia Tech games in my life, and y'all top three worst fan bases of all time. Take it to the bank. For what? Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Beating WVU in that front is hard to do.
I guess, dude, but, you know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're worse than WVU fans,
then that's
and in the heyday of Tech, WVU, then that you tried.
Yep, you tried real hard, dude. And, oh, my gosh. But either way, for the sanctity of the logo, as our friend Don V likes to say, and the university, really, on a scale of national prominence, and for a fan base, you have to win on Saturday. You have to win.
And this is why you're 0-1. You know, you went into a game with South Carolina. They're very good. Now they're 10th in the country. We're 14th. Like, you had them on the ropes. You could have knocked them out. You didn't. So you're 0-1, even though you saw a lot of good things. You're 0-1, which is what matters. You beat Vanderbilt, dude. You got ODU, Wofford, NC State, and Wake Forest. Like, you could string games together. Like, ODU and Wofford, ODU in Blacksburg, that's a W. Wofford, W. NC State, depends. Because ECU gave them a battle, and I thought that was kind of crazy. But ECU, that's kind of like their big game when they play them, right? But Wake Forest 10-9 against Kennesaw State that just came up from FCS last year. Like, those are, you could be sitting at a pretty nice record going into October, and the way November looks schedule wise, you need to stack them when you can stack them just in case.
Word to Chris Lester. He said the exact same thing on the space on that 1999 Blacksburg FM or AM, did, but Chris said the same thing. He's like, dude, November's looking real scary. And dude, that's crunch time, man, because in November, you know what happens, Dan. This is college football. You got a banged-up team.
Mm-hmm.
You got a banged-up team. Now, I will say, kind of tying this all together, on the flip side of that coin, dude, we got some depth on defense.
It's crazy, right?
We got some depth. They can all play. I was really astounded the rotation we had.
So many people.
So many guys. And when's the last time we had depth like that? I mean, so again, y'all, like, there are bright spots that if you're a fan of this team, like, you got to acknowledge in some capacity of, even though we lost this past weekend, there are things that, you know, people are picking up on. They're like, oh, we didn't have that last year. We didn't have that a couple of years ago.
And I mean, like, if they can put wins together in the ACC and, like, November, like, not to get that far ahead, but, like, we've seen Miami come to Blacksburg and get beat. They've also been Miami late November. Like, they got expectations. They've never made it to the ACC championship game. They end up messing it up. Florida State, Castellanos, if he's got to beat us, I don't know if he can. He hasn't been able to yet. Alabama looks softer than what we put out there against South Carolina. So you got to wait to see how the season plays out, but you got to stack these wins now.
Yeah, it's no time like the present. And also, I mean, I think it was Pete B.
You can't win too many. You know what I'm saying?
You can't. Yeah.
You can lose too many. Can't win too many.
You got to leave September 3-1.
Facts. 1,000%.
You got to leave September 3-1. And if that Vanderbilt win is emphatic, you're going to have me telling some – I might say some crazy shit. if we can beat Vanderbilt handily, you know, again, dude, I think that game is, oh, it's going to be a headache. I predicted us to lose to them. For the record, if you're a Vanderbilt fan listening to this and you made it this far, I said we'd lose to you guys. It's in writing. But I'm saying we can't. Like, we can't. We cannot lose to Vanderbilt, man. Blacksburg, right. I mean, it'll get real Mickey and real tricky downtown if we lose that game. I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah. It definitely feels like there's a different energy now, though. Like, we were texting about it yesterday when I was on the plane with our friend David Cunningham. Like, Pry seemed like not like, like sort of elated that this squad can play the way they played, even though we lost, and he was pissed about that, which you should be, because you shouldn't be happy you lost or satisfied that you lost. But like, I think he's like, man, I got a deep rotational squad on defense. Like, we might be able to stack some wins in this conference and keep me around.
Yeah.
But you got to do it.
You got to do it. And you got to not say the same thing after every loss, Brent Pry, because you sound like a broken freaking record. You said the same
day. But he did say no pats on the back.
Yeah, no pat. Well, that was nice. That was a nice addition after saying, you know, it didn't go in our favor. Yeah. And give credit to the other team. Yeah, I've heard it 100 times. Say something else. Also, beat Vanderbilt. Please, for the love of God, beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to.
Dan, are you going?
Yeah. I have season tickets. The only one I know I have to miss for a fact is ODU, which is fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Cancel the series with them. Sign our good riddance. Other news, real quick, our men's soccer team is in the top 10.
Number eight, baby.
They're number eight in the country.
They are Greg Boone of the country.
Which is pretty cool. And then
women are 20th.
Women are 20th. So we've always done well in women's soccer. It was cool to see them play out here at UCLA last year and advance through the Elite Eight. That was super cool. Fall sports are in full swing at Virginia Tech. It's crazy. We missing anything else? I mean, what, basketball season's on the horizon? The Greek Freak was upgraded to a 5-star. Saw that on, I think, 24/7 composite rankings, which is pretty cool. So Mike Young, I think, is going to – I think Mike Young is going to have a good basketball season, but, hey, who knows what will happen.
The Slovakia stud.
Where is the Suvlaki NIL deal? People have been saying it forever. Make it happen. Dan, have fun at the game. Have fun, you know, tailgating with Steven, Nate, Karen, the usual suspects. Tell them to all y'all if you're listening at all what's going on.
If you're listening to this, we're going to be on Chicken Hill. We're doing walking tacos. Bring some beer. Bring whatever. Like, we're gonna have a good time. Like we haven't lost at home yet this year, so the vibes are gonna be immaculate. So make sure you're there while you can.
Yell loud.
Be loud. Be active. I don't have keys anymore because I have a key fob because nobody really makes keys anymore. But I will.
You not have house keys?
Nah, dude, I have a code.
Okay, well, that's
a man's got to live by a code.
Well, yeah, and a house key. Those haven't gone away.
Yeah, well, it's just one key. It's just one key. It's
one key.
Not making noise. Yeah.
dude, Dan, it's good to be back, man, and I appreciate you having me as always. I mean, I love coming on Tales from the Terradome. I love it so much. Always great chemistry, always great rapport. You know, you keep it real. One of the best in the space. And this will not be the last time, swear to God. And if we lose to Vanderbilt, you're not going to want to have me on this show. So
nah.
Don't ask. don't ask.
Yeah, we're favored in this one, but I expect to be the underdog in several games this year. And speaking of underdog, official partnership, Tales from the Terradome, your boy Dan, Underdog Fantasy. Link will be in the bio of this episode. Promo code Dan deposit $5, get $50 in bonus, and they will deposit match you up to $1,000. So, what are we waiting on?
I mean, it's like right there.
It's right there, dude.
Yeah, I got a link in bio. This man Dan's moving up in the world. New sponsorships in the year of our Lord 2025. Stoked for you, man. The continued success. And like I said, love this show, dude. And I look forward to coming back on later this season.
Absolutely.
Keep killing it, brother.
Hey, man. We got to beat Vandy. Send him back to Nashville, sad. And go Hokies.
Go Hokies. We'll see.